Amen. Thank you, brothers. I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, 2 through 6, from the New International Version. And the text says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. The word of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. Are you the one? According to Matthew's account, John the Baptist sits in Herod's prison and hears about the works of Christ. According to Matthew's account, John doesn't immediately rejoice about the reports of Jesus' activity. Instead, John demonstrates skepticism. Although, according to Matthew's gospel, John attended Jesus' baptism and heard God confirm Jesus' sonship, John is still skeptical, apparently, about Jesus' authenticity. Could it be that John is plagued by the cynicism and distrust that permeate our world today? We can identify with John. We too want to be sure that things and persons are real, are authentic. Recent history teaches us that we must be careful about what folk say and about what folk do. Things are not always as they appear. Corporate executives mishandle the public trust and exchange ethics for greed. You remember years ago, Bernie Madoff left many in economic ruin despite sending out glowing reports and economic data. Retirement accounts, investment accounts were wiped out or severely diminished. History teaches us that we must be careful about what folks say and what folks do. Things are not always as they appear. Today, many of us are like John the Baptist. We are skeptical. In relationships, we seek realness and authenticity. We ask, are you the one? Are you real? It seems that we can't just go on love or feelings today. We need a health report and a background check and a credit report. When Zenota and I were preparing to get married in 1981, we had to take a blood test in Illinois to get our marriage license. They just wanted to check to see if you had venereal disease or something. But today, you've got to do some serious work. Social media platforms don't always tell the truth. They put one photo up, and then when you show up in person, a different person is sitting in front of you. Or sometimes you communicate with somebody via social media, and then they never show up. You're ghosted. So you got to be skeptical. Even in matters of faith, we are skeptical. Is God real? Does God really care? Is faith worth our time and investment? People have been duped in the name of faith. People have been messed up by folks wearing the banner of faith and righteousness. So John's skepticism, when viewed from our vantage point, you know, it makes a little sense. Sometimes healthy skepticism can bring life and creativity to faith. But what prompts John's skepticism? Why does he send out his disciples asking, are you real? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? Some have suggested that John's imprisonment has weakened his spirit, that this powerful prophet is struggling with confinement, that he is depressed. And certainly trouble can impact our faith. When we go through difficulties, when we face storms and trials, sometimes we question our faith. Is God real? Some have suggested that the reports of the works of Christ, because he heard about the works of Christ, do not match John's concept of the disciples, of the Messiah. So when you're expecting one kind of Messiah and you get something else, there is something to that. So John comes, he comes on the scene preaching judgment and calling for repentance and says the Messiah is coming and he's going to restore order. And then Jesus comes, engages in ministry, reaching out to those whose backs are against the wall. And John wants to be sure, are you the one? Are you authentic? Are you the Messiah? Can we place our faith in you? John calls for authenticity. And I like Jesus' response. Jesus is God, fully endowed with sovereignty and, if you will, the power and advantages of deity. So when the disciples come to Jesus and say, are you real? They are coming to God, who has all of the advantages of being God. And when you understand the incarnation, God made flesh, you understand that Jesus might think that John has the nerve or the temerity to send disciples to ask him, is he real? How can a mortal contend with the Almighty? And yet John represents all of us. As persons of faith, we have questions. But Jesus does not take offense or pull rank on John's disciples. He doesn't say, how dare you come with that question? Many of us might have real issues about our faith and the authenticity. Jesus doesn't take offense. He allows the questions, and I like that, because God isn't concerned or worried about questions. The old folks used to say, you don't question God. What they meant was you don't call God on the carpet. They didn't mean to suggest that you don't ask questions. And certainly you can ask questions of God. Jesus doesn't take offense. He allows the questions because he knows that faith ought to seek meaning and faith ought to seek understanding. If you're going to have faith, you ought to understand it. If you're going to trust God, you ought to understand it. If you're going to talk in the word, you ought to understand it. And I like what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't give us a wordy or lengthy defense of his messiahship. He doesn't go into some big story saying, yeah, I'm the Messiah. He doesn't present an argument about his authenticity because Jesus knows his response is not about words. What he says, that when it comes to authenticity, words are cheap. So Jesus doesn't spend a lot of time trying to convince John's disciples or to come up with the perfect response. I think that's instructive for us. Because realness and authenticity are not just about what a person says. He places too much emphasis on talk. That's the veneer of authenticity. In relationships, some folk are all talk. In families, some folk are all talk. They talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. And for Jesus, the true faith is not just about words. What Jesus does is points to his ministry. He says to John's disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised and the poor have the good news brought to them. For Jesus, authenticity is connected to what one produces. Jesus doesn't offer an argument. Instead, he says, examine my ministry. He says, look at what I'm focusing on. Look at what I'm doing. So he educates John about the true work of the Messiah. John and others expect a powerful Messiah who will restore order and execute judgment. But Jesus says, my work is not about judgment. My work is about liberation and restoration. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. So Jesus ties his authenticity to action. He defines real ministry. He says, look at what I produce. If you're searching for authenticity, look at what I produce. That's what he says. Don't worry about anything else. Just look at my ministry. Former president is selling Bibles. When I first heard it, I was like, what? The man that talked about 1 Corinthians is selling Bibles, promoting and peddling Bibles like somebody peddling shoes on the street corner. And I said to myself, you cannot just look at what he is doing. You've got to look at who he is. Here is somebody who is selling Bibles, who has probably never read the Bible and never lived by the Bible, and he has the unmitigated gall to be selling Bibles. So you look at what the person produces, and that tells you who they are. Our testimony as the Christian church is rooted in Christ's work and ministry. We believe in the authenticity of Christ because Christ embodies the love and grace of God. Christ does for us what no other person or God can claim. Zoroaster, Confucius, Muhammad, Siddhartha, Vishnu never died for the sin of the world. But Jesus died for us and demonstrates his great love for us. So Jesus says, in response, look at what I produce. And then he says one more thing and I'm done. He says, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. That's sort of a beatitude. What does it mean? Blessed is anyone who takes no offense. Blessed is anyone takes no offense. Offense means stumbling, so that it could be said, rendered, blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble concerning my work and my ministry. The scandal of Jesus' ministry and crucifixion may cause some to withdraw, to fall away, but if they latch on, they will be blessed. So, when you find the real one, latch on. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed is anyone who is not offended at me. When you find authenticity, latch on. Hold on to it. Now I want to suggest to you, when you find a real person, latch on. And Jesus is saying, you'll be blessed if you latch on to me. You see, John is looking for authenticity, but Jesus is looking for acceptance. So he says, in effect, to John's disciples, not about figuring out who I am. It's about what you do once you know who I am. And what you do is, you ought to latch on. Faith is not simply a search for authenticity. Faith is also embracing the real God. When you find real faith, latch on. Don't let real faith pass you by. There's so much in this world that we cannot trust. But when we find someone worthy of trust, we ought to latch on to it. There's so many folks telling us different things about God, about religion. When we find real religion, latch on to it. I'm reminded of Polonius's advice to Laertes in Shakespeare's Hamlet. He writes, the friends thou hast and their adoption tried, grapple them to thy soul with hoops of steel, so that if you have a proven friend, hold on to him or her. And by extension, if you've got a good wife or a good husband, hold on to them. This isn't on my paper. As if you don't hold on, somebody's in the waiting in the wings for you to move out the way and the swoop right in and take your place. That wasn't on my paper. I just dropped it off for three. If you've got a good family, hold on to it and thank God for it. Everybody doesn't have a good family. Latch on and you'll be blessed. And if you find real faith, if you find real redemption, latch on to it. And that's what Jesus is saying to all of us. The question is, are you the one? And Jesus doesn't even stand up to defend himself. He just says, go look in what I'm doing. Tell John what you hear. Tell John what you see. The lame are being healed. The deaf are hearing again. The dead are being raised again. And when you look at what I'm doing, I want you to latch on to me. Today is your day to latch on. Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm serving. I died for you. I love you. I want you. You're a part of my life. And Jesus is saying, latch on to him. And I know what you're saying, Reverend. I got a little time. I can latch on next week. I can latch on tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is not promised. The Bible says the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Jesus is knocking right now. Jesus is speaking right now. Jesus is reaching right now. Latch on to him. And if you latch on, he'll walk with you. If you latch on to him, he'll open doors for you. If you latch on to him, he'll heal your body. If you latch on to him, he'll give you grace and strength. Latch on. The invitation, Christian discipleship, is extended. So much today that we cannot trust. So much duplicity among people, even in the church. One face one way, another face another way. Smile in your face, talk about you behind your back. Yes, duplicity in the church. So much you cannot trust. There is one. There is one. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And that one is Jesus. And he is the one we offer to you. As our minister and deacons come and greeters, the invitation to Christ is extended. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation? Hour today? Okay. Invite you to join us for the fellowship hour following the benediction. God be with you. Let us pray. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, O God, for helping us to consider John's question, are you the one? Sends his disciples to Jesus, questioning Jesus' authenticity. And we thank you for how Jesus responds. He doesn't get wordy. He doesn't mount a defense. He doesn't yet offended that John dares to ask. He simply points to his ministry and says, authenticity is not about what I say. It's about what I do. Look at my ministry. And the most important thing about encountering Jesus is not just to discover his identity, but to face the question, either accept and latch on or reject him. Help us, O God, as we encounter the real Christ, to latch on and to proceed with real faith. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Don't forget to join us in the fellowship hall.